الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وبعد. Welcome to our seventh lecture in this series. Well, we're talking about the sources of tafsir. Well, we're currently discussing the Arabic language. Well, since a number of you were not here last time, not that there's a large number here now, but since a number of you were not here last time, just kind of want to review, and what are some of the points that that we're making. Actually, at the end of the fifth lecture, we begin with an introduction through about the Arabic language and the nature of the Arabic language and how it differs, for example, from the Greek language. And then we brought the proofs from the Quran that the Quran has been revealed in the Arabic language. And we also discussed what Arabic language that was, the language of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We talked about how words and meanings can change over time, so therefore it's wonderful that we remember that when we talk about the Arabic of the Quran, we're talking about the Arabic language of the time of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Well, then we also discussed how some people use Arabic incorrectly, and in order to try to prove some deviant beliefs that they have, for example, Ahl al-Bid'ah in general. They try to prove some of their beliefs, sometimes by Arabic arguments, twisting the meanings of the Quran. For example, we discussed the Qadiani proof that there can be a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We discussed the proof of the Nation of Islam, or Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan's group in the United States, that the white people are devils, and they prove that from the Quran. We discussed their proof last time. Well, then we discussed basically what is the need for Arabic, knowing Arabic when it comes to tafsir. We said, first of all, in order to know the meaning of the verse itself, and just the meaning of it, we have to be familiar with the Arabic language. Secondly, to really appreciate the Quran and to understand more about Islam and to understand more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy for us and the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And it's very important that we understand Arabic, and the more we understand Arabic, the more we can understand the Quran, and therefore the more we can understand Islam, and inshallah increase our iman. And we gave two examples. Anyone remember the two examples that we gave? Yani, as examples that if we understand Arabic better, yani, we'll appreciate the Quran more and understand Islam better. What were the two examples? We discussed one example, لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. What's the difference between kasabat wa kasabat? We also, the second example that we discussed, we read these long lines of poetry. It's being taped. Be quick. Inna hadaynahu sabila in mashakira wa inna kafura. We discussed, for example, why is it not inna shakura wa inna kafura? Why is one in the intensive form, sigatul mubalaga, and the other one isn't? That's what you missed.
So what's the answer?
And thirdly, we said that to refute the Ahl al-Bid'ah and their arguments, also we have to know the Arabic language. So one aspect of the Arabic language that we talked about is vocabulary. Vocabulary, yani the meanings of words. Obviously, yani you have to know the meanings of words before you can understand the meaning of a sentence in general. Well, we discussed, for example, different uses of the Quran. For example, the word kana in the Quran, what does it mean? The word kada in the Quran, what are its different meanings? The word ja'ala in the Quran, what does it mean? The word la'ala in the Quran, what does it mean? Well, we discussed also some words that if they're used in the singular and if they're used in the plural, they have different meanings. And in the Quran, some words, if they're used in the singular or in the plural, they have different meanings. For example, we discussed the difference between rih and riyah. Or the difference between a sama and samawat, for example. Or the difference between mashraq or mashraqain or masharaq. And all of them have different meanings in the Quran. Or we discussed some words that people think might be synonyms. Any words that people think are synonyms, but they are not actually synonyms. We gave two examples, actually three. One was after, last time we turned the tape off and continued. One of them was the difference between al-khawf wal-khashya, or the difference between al-shuh wal-bukhul. And then we ended with one section, and that is the some terms in the Quran that the meaning These terms actually can only be known through naql, or things that have been narrated from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and so forth. And he thinks that the meaning of these words cannot be known from the Arabic language. They are particular in these parts related to the Quran. Well, as I said last time, this is perhaps something tentative, something perhaps we have to look into in more detail. It is related from a scholar, his name is Al-Haddadi, who is an excellent scholar. And his book, Al-Madkhal ila Tafsir al-Quran, is an excellent book related to Arabic principles. And he gave a list of things, a list of verses in the Quran, and terms that the correct meaning of these terms actually can only be known through tafsir and cannot be known through logha. Well, I'll give just one example here for those of you who weren't here last time. وَأَمْرَاتُهُ قَائِمَةٌ فَدَحَكَتْ from Surah Hud. What's the meaning of دَحَكَتْ in this verse? Well, if you try to think of it from the Arabic language, don't try to think of it. The meaning, according to Mujahid and Akrama, is حَاضَتْ. دَحَكَتْ means حَاضَتْ in this verse. And we discussed also some of the books. I didn't bring the one from the library. Some of the excellent books in the Arabic language that deal with the vocabulary of the Quran. And the best one is by Raghib al-Isfahani. His name is, anyone remember? Mm-hmm. Any of all you students who were here last time remember?
Tareeb al-Quran.
Tareeb al-Quran. Tareeb al-Quran also is very good. It's by Ibn Qutayba. The other one, Mufradat. مفردات غريب القرآن راقب الاستهان
هذا مشكلة تسجيل إذا تكتب ما تهتم
طيب وناو we want to discuss a little bit the style of the Quran. What do I mean by style? Style includes rules of Arabic grammar, and they will include some of that here. أصاليب ويعني
طرق البيان.
طرق البيان also in البلاغة from the Quran. As we know, the Quran is not just in Arabic, but it is the most eloquent and the best Arabic language. Where the Arabic language that they used to use in the Jahiliyyah poetry, they used to use many principles and used to, don't want to say play with the Arabic language, but they used to use the Arabic language in a very special way to get their meaning across. And all of those principles and all those strong and accepted principles among the Arabs that can be found in the Arabic Jahiliyyah poetry can also be found in the Quran. There's some aspects of Arabic Jahiliyyah poetry, before Islamic times poetry, which are considered weak or rejected aspects of Arabic language. Some poet wrote a poem and he used some principles that are rejected by the Arabs. Those kind of principles you'll not find in the Quran. But you'll find many other principles, aspects of expressing yourself in the Arabic poetry, of Jahiliyyah times, you'll find them also in the Quran. Well, this is some of what, inshallah, we'll discuss today. Well, also, there's one point, though, I'd like to mention before we continue, or perhaps it's good if Saud isn't here, maybe he won't like this point. And that's when people approach the Quran, one thing you can notice, when people write, for example, tafsir of the Quran, or comment on verse of the Quran. The Quran is filled with so much, so many aspects are there in the Quran, that when people come from their own specialty, they have a tendency to overemphasize their specialty in discussing the Quran. For example, historians, when they talk about Quranic verses, or when they try to explain Quranic verses, they go into detail in history much beyond what is actually needed in the for the tafsir. Also, المتكلمون, or those people who are specialized in like philosophy or scholastic theology, and they go into much, much more detail than what is needed for understanding the Quran. Similarly is the case for grammarians or linguists, people of Ahl al-Logha, people who are specialized in Logha. Sometimes they go into much more detail than is necessary. And sometimes they lose actually the meaning of the verse because of what they go into. But two famous tafsirs, one by Abu Hayyan from Spain, or the other one by Al-Alusi. These two Abu Hayyan's tafsir is called Al-Bahr al-Muhit, Al-Alusi's tafsir is called Ruh al-Ma'ani. And these two have a tendency to go into too much detail and using too much يعني, principles of Arabic language, and sometimes even they lose actually the meaning of the Quranic verse. And sometimes the Quranic verse by itself is clear in and of itself, and there's no need sometimes to go into these kind of detailed discussions that will sometimes tend to change the meaning of the verse. For example, the Quranic verse that says فَذَكِّرْ إِنْ نَفَعَتِ ذِكْرَ. What's the meaning of in this case? And if I give you the translation, I cannot of course give you the translation of the verse because that will answer that question. فَذَكِّرْ إِنْ نَفَعَتِ ذِكْرَ. What's the meaning of in? The most obvious meaning or the most common meaning of in this case would mean conditional, shaktiya. Remind them if there is some benefit to the reminder. And this is, by the way, used by some people as proof that if you know, for example, that Amr bin Maruf ordering some good isn't going to do anything, then it's not obligatory on you to order it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَكْرْ إِنْ نَفَعَتِ ذِكْرَ. Lakin, some of the Arabic specialists say that in here does not mean in. It means قَدْ. And فَذَكْرْ قَدْ نَفَعَتِ ذِكْرَ. Yani that a ذِكْر is beneficial. And you remind them because the ذِكْر is beneficial. Well, they bring some proof in the Arabic poetry in which in means قَدْ. So you get that kind of discussion.
How do they distinguish the awl?
Now, that's the point. Yani, the point is that if the verse is clear by itself, and there's no proof, for example, from the tafsir of the Sahaba, or from the tafsir of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that there's any need for any change, then you don't change it. That was my point. Yani, that some of the grammarians or the people of language, they go into such detail that yes, in could mean qad in Arabic poetry. Sometimes we use that, but yani in the case where you don't have any proof that here in doesn't mean in, then you should stick with what the verse says. So we'll go through some principles of the Arabic language, and we'll give you some tests to see how many people are doing. So the first one of the important topics that you find in all of the books of Ramal Quran, don't go too far away, is discussion related to the Dhamir or Dhamair. Dhamir is what in English, by the way? Let's test also your English grammar. What is Dhamir in English?
Pronoun.
Yeah, in general, it's pronoun. So the asl or the basic case with respect to a pronoun is what? And the thing that the pronoun is referring to should be where?
Aqrab
and? And before or after? Aqrab and before or after? Yani the Dhamir, what is it referring to usually? The basic case is referring to? Aqrab what?
Qabl.
That's good. And it should refer to the closest actor, or closest noun, or closest whatever is it's capable of referring to, and it should, obviously that should have occurred before the mention of the pronoun. Is that always the case? Like, it's not always the case. Now, you're all familiar with Taha Hussein. Taha Hussein claimed in a lecture he gave in, I don't remember the year, he claimed that is always the case and it must be the case. So he went to the Quran, and any verse in the Quran in which that wasn't the case, he made some ta'wil for it. Yani that it has to be the case. He rejected. He said in the Arabic language that has to be the case. But we know actually in the Arabic language, yani by, for example, in Arabic poetry, we know that it doesn't necessarily have to be the case. And if you have some evidence that the pronoun is referring to something other than the most recently stated noun, for example, then yani, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that is the style of the Arabic language. And if the Quran did not use it sometimes, yani, the Quran would be missing one of the styles of the Arabic language. But sometimes, many times, the dhamir or the pronoun is referring to something implied but not stated in the text. Okay. For example, i'dalu huwa aqrab lit-taqwa. Huwa refers to what? العدل. طيب العدل actually isn't stated but it's understood. يعني be just as it is closest to تقوى. It here refers to justice. Justice is closest to تقوى. But actually عدل is not mentioned. But يعني here it's not referring to the word, it's referring to the meaning of what the word implies. Well, sometimes the mayor could refer to something. Sometimes the mayor or the pronoun could refer to something after it. Yani, in other words, the reference is not before. The most common, the most classic example, or the most obvious example, is what? It's in a surah. It's a very short surah. People read it a lot, especially for example, قل هو الله أحد. هو الله أحد. هو refers to who? Allah. So here the dhamir, the pronoun comes first, and its reference comes after. Sometimes the reference is never mentioned, but it's understood. And it's not even necessary to mention what it's referring to. For example, كل من عليها فان. عليها, how it refers to what? الأرض. Everything upon it, يعني shall be... Shall die, shall pass away, okay. Like, upon it, here, it, عليها, and there's no mention of what actually refers to. But it is clearly understood. Like, what some people get confused by, sometimes, is that the dhamir, I'll ask you, is it necessary for the dhamir or the pronoun, when it refers to something, does it have to be consistent with respect to masculine and feminine? With respect to singular or plural or dual?
Yeah.
Is that necessary or not? Well, the graduate from Jamiat al-Imam says, yes, it's necessary. Or the engineers say, it is not necessary. Say, bring your proof. From the Quran, bring your proof. That it's not necessary. I'm just trying to kill time while I find this verse. So an example of that is Surah An-Nisa, verse 4. Should I read it in Arabic? What it says? وَآتُ نِسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلًا فَإِنْتِنَّ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِنْهُ نَفْسًا فَكُلُوهُ حَنِيئًا مَرِيًّا. And minhu refers to صدقات, which is plural. And minhu, the pronoun, singular, but it refers to something which is plural. And in fact, the words ma and man and alladhi and kana, and all of these don't have to be consistent with respect to singular or plural or masculine or feminine. They do not have to be, because either the word is referring either the pronoun is referring to the word. If it's referring to the word, for example, if it was referring to sadaqat, it would have to be the same in for example, masculine or feminine, singular or plural. But if it's just referring to the meaning, and if it's not referring to the word itself, but it's referring to the meaning or the topic, then it doesn't have to be consistent. طيب. قاعدة. نعم. قاعدة. إيه.
العدد
يعني. يعني just many times in the Quran that if it's referring to the word, it will be consistent. If it's referring to the meaning, it doesn't have to be consistent. I mean, consistent means masculine and feminine, singular or plural, singular, dual or plural.
What's the difference between
them? Okay, so the meaning of that verse, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second, or the dhamir or the pronoun, is referring to the meaning life itself, but is not referring to the life that was mentioned earlier. So the translation here of Muhammad Yusuf Ali is incorrect. As I mentioned earlier, Surah Fatir, verse 11. Nor is a man long-lived granted length of days, nor is a part cut off from his life, but it is in a book ordained. But the meaning actually, as I said, the pronoun doesn't refer to the earlier life mentioned, but it refers to life in general, the meaning of the word. So a closer translation would have been, nor is a man given length of days, nor is another life cut off, but is in a book ordained. Well, many times the dhamir comes first, as we mentioned, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, or sometimes the mirror comes first, and it is explained afterwards, as in إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا. And هِيَ is referring to what in this case? إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا. So it's referring to what is coming after. Well, this section, we skipped it. We said we'd skip it, so we did it last time. Now,
زَيْفُلْهُ
اللَّهُ. طيب, another topic. By the way, we're doing the easy parts first. We'll get to more difficult, much more difficult later. And there's even much more difficult than this, but I didn't understand it, so I had to leave it out there. طيب, now we move on to another topic. وهذا الناكرة والمعرفة. The indefinite and the definite. صح؟
Indefinite.
Indefinite. Sometimes the same word comes twice. One time it is used in the indefinite, and the other time it's used in the definite, or the vice versa, or both times it's indefinite, or both times it's definite. Follow what I'm saying? Yeah, one word. For example, if it comes, both of them are in the definite case, in the marafatain. Then the second one refers to the first one. And they're both the same, I mean. Not supposed to. But they're both the same. Okay? Usually. غالبا. إذا في يعني معرفتين. فالثاني هو الأول غالبا. I'll give you an example. Tell me if this example is correct, by the way. Maybe this example is wrong. إحدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. That surat here is referring to two different paths or the same surat. Here is the principle I just said.
The same surat.
It is referring to the same surat. Now, if they are both nakira, I'm sorry, I'm going too fast for you. Yeah. Arabic. So if in this case, if it's two, yani indefinite, then the second one is not the first one usually. فَثَانِ غَيْرِ الْأَوَّلْ غَالِبًا. An example from Surah Ar-Rum, verse 54. اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن ضَعْفٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ ضَعْفٍ قُوَّةٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضَعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. So here we have the word ضَعْف three times. All of them نكرة. الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف. You can find it here so I can get a translation for it. I would appreciate it. That one goes the other way, by the way. Okay. الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف. What's the meaning of ضعف here? What's it referring to? Here it's referring to a نقطة. Before.
You didn't say the verse before.
And you still answer. Allah الذي خلقكم من ضعف. The first ضعف here is nutfa, or when it's still a fetus. ثم جعل من بعد ضعف. ضعف here means what? It is also nakira. So it doesn't mean the same as the first one. As I said, فثاني غير الأول غالبا. What's it mean here? You answered it last time. Tofoliyah, okay? Tofoliyah. Or when the... during childhood. ثُمَّ جَعْلَ مِن بَعْدِ ضَعْفٍ قُوَّةٍ ثُمَّ جَعْلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضَعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. ضَعْفًا here means what?
شَيْخُوكَ.
Okay? So here we have the word ضَعْف used three times, both of this in the indefinite case. And it means three different things. Let's see how... This poor translation is going to go through a lot. Okay, he didn't translate it here. He just left it as weakness and weakness. It is Allah who created you in a state of helplessness, weaknesses, meaning in the fetus. Then gave you strength after weakness, meaning after a period of childhood. Then after strength gave you weakness and a hoary head. Shaiba, hoary head. Here weakness means shaykhuka or when you're in old age. Okay, now we've done two cases. Obviously, by the way, there's four cases. What's another case?
Nakira.
Okay, the first one is Nakira. And the second one is Ma'rifa. The first one is indefinite. The second one is definite. Then the second one and the first one, are they the same or not? What do you think? Give me a second. The second is the first. For example, كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول. يعني we sent unto Pharaoh messenger and Pharaoh disobeyed the messenger. الرسول here, the second one, the messenger is definite and it refers to the same one as the first one. كويس؟ ماشي؟ So now if I give you any verse, you'll be able to apply these principles in the future. Next to Ramadan during Salat al-Tarawih, when you hear the whole Quran, you'll be thinking of this. This refers to that. Ah, Damir, here we go. Stop, as the Imam, stop. So the first one is Ma'rifah. The first one is definite. And the second one is Nakira, indefinite.
Have a Da'iman.
Da'iman is. Okay. And in this case, there's no principle. You have to look at the siyaq or the context to see what it's referring to. Sometimes the qarina or the context shows you that that they are not the same. Okay. In this verse, Surah Ar-Rum, verse 55. ويوم تقوم الساعة يقسم المجرمون ما لبثوا غير الساعة. يعني on the day that the hour will be established, the transgressors will swear, but they tarried not but an hour. Here it's very clear from the context that the first hour, which was definite, the hour, is different from the second hour. Okay. So I'll give you another example, and you tell me whether they're referring to the same thing or not. وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. Quran, the first one is Ma'rifah, the second one is Nakira. Okay, here obviously they're referring to the same Quran. Okay, so if the first one is Ma'rifah and the second one is Nakira, there is no clear principle. You have to look at the context to see if they're referring to the same one or not. Tell me now what is similar with these verses. These verses all use an aspect or a principle of the Arabic language. It is used in speech and so forth. وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ الْعِجْبِ الْحَجُّ أَشْهُرٌ مَعْلُومَاتٌ وما وجدنا لأكثرهم من أحد لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين حتى تدع الحرب أوزارها. So those five verses, they're all using the same principle. What's that principle? So حذف the problem, حذف المضاف وإقامة المضاف إليه مقامه. How are you going to translate that in English for the sake? And you delete the governing word and you replace it by the governing word in its place, by the governed word in its place. So وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ الْعَجْبِ, and they drank in their hearts the cup. What does it mean actually? What does this verse mean? This is, by the way, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 93, for those of you following along at home. حب العجب. يعني they did not have in their hearts يعني العجب itself, but the love for the عجب. Okay. الحج أشهر معلومات. What's the meaning of that?
Definitely.
Hey, يعني وقت الحج, the time of حج is during the well-known time. وما وجدنا لأكثرهم من أحد. This is the second example, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 197. that Hajj Ashrum Ma'lumat, yani meaning the time of the Hajj is well known, during the well known or appointed month. وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرَهِمْ مِنْ أَحْدٍ عند سورة العراف verse 148.
أحد يكون به؟
نعم. نعم حذف المضاف وإقامة المضاف إليه. ما وجدنا لأكثرهم من وفاء وفاء أحد.
Is it used as a sheer مبالغة؟
No.
To give an indication that.
ما فعل
نعم. ما نسير.
طيب هذه وقت ما.
The next verse, سورة الممتحنة. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين وتزامين. What is missing? What has been dropped? لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين. And Allah doesn't prohibit you from what? With respect to.
Hey,
or البر. لا ينهاكم الله عن بر الذين. سرد.
واسأل القرية.
واسأل القرية.
أهل القرية.
طيب هذا classic example.
هذا اللي يدرس.
So that principle is clear. What the later generations call majaz, but actually it is not really majaz, but it is deleting the governing word and replacing it in its place with the governed word. That's for those of you who are familiar with the Arabic language. Okay. Now here's some verses. Again, I'm giving you a little test. Here's another 5 verses. And tell me what's the relationship between these 5 verses. And what's the relationship, but what do they have in common? Okay, and okay, you've done quite well. You had it on the first verse. These 5 verses, and by the way, I didn't write down where these verses are from. The first one from Surah Al-Kahf, verse 25. وَلَابِتُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ وَالْزَادُ تِسْعَةٍ. The second one, خُلَكَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا.
Ibrahim.
في Surah Ibrahim. The fourth one, فَضَحَكَتْ فَبَشَرْنَاهَا. And the last one, لَوْلَا كَلِمَةٌ سَبَقَتْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَكَانَ لِزَامًا وَأَجْلٌ مُسَمَّى. Okay, now when you said about the first one, ثَلَاثَ مِيَا سِنِينَ سِنِينَ. What did you say? It should be ثَلَاثَ مِيَا سَنَى or سِنِينَ ثَلَاثَ مِيَا. This is something in the Arabic language that I'm sure all of you have heard about, but maybe you didn't realize it's here. This is called التقديم والتأخير. التقديم, oh yeah, all of these facts, sure. When I give you these together, that means they have that. التقديم والتأخير. That means any one word or one phrase comes before another word or phrase in the writing or in the wording, but their meaning is the opposite. But their meaning is the opposite. And you can see it most clearly with this verse from Surah Al-Kahf. وَلَّبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ. Because the way it's written, you can see that it's not the normal way. Because سنين either should be سنة, if it's going to come after 300, it should be سنة. Or if it's going to come before, it should be سنين. So it has just been interposed, I guess you could call it.
So what's the actual number? How do you interpret?
Oh, yeah. The in the case of taqdeem wa ta'khir, a word or phrase comes first in the reading, but its meaning is the opposite. So in other words, ثلاثة مئة سنين, it means سنين ثلاثة مئة. 300 years. Okay. خلق الإنسان من عجل. خلق العجل من الإنسان. خلق العجل من الإنسان. Go to the books of
Tafsir. Uh-huh.
وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Now, as I said, by the way, I don't forget that point that I mentioned, that yani, when you come to grammarians and so forth, sometimes you get different opinions among the scholars of language. Some will say this is تَقْدِيم وَتَقْهِير, and others will say it's not. Okay? In that case, you have to go back to what the Salaf say, and you have to rely on what the Salaf say. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا أي أَجْعَلَ الْمُتَّقِينَ لَنَا إِمَامًا. فضحكت فبشرناها وقد قيل يعني some of them say يعني فبشرها فضحكت And that makes sense. That the glad tidings came first, well then she, whatever dhahakat means in this
verse.
And the last one is clear, the last one there's no question about it. All the people of tafsir are agreed upon that. لولا كلمة سبقت من ربك لكان لزاما وأجل مسمى. Eh? What's the meaning? Using تقديم وتأخير.
كان أجل مسمى. كان أجل مسمى. لولا كلمة سبقت منا.
لولا كلمة سبقت من ربك وأجل مسمى لكان لزاما. Eh? لكان العذاب اللزام. يعني it means لولا كلمة سبقت من ربك وأجل مسمى. لكان بالزانة The first one from Surah Al-Kahf 300 years, there's no question that that's the principle of Taqdeem wa Ta'khir. And the last one, there's no question that that's the principle of Taqdeem wa Ta'khir. The middle two, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجِلْ وَاجْعَانَ لِلْمُتَّقِينِ إِمَامًا, can be read either way. It can be read either way. Or can be understood, not read. Of course, they can only be read one way. But they can be read, they can be understood either way. طيب, any questions about that?
لو ليش كنت بتكلم أنا؟ أنا بقول ما في أنا.
طيب, one aspect of the Quran, and we should understand, يعني, what is the difference between them? Is sometimes Allah Subhanahu wa Taala addresses, and in the address uses, or in the speech, I should say, speech uses a noun, and sometimes uses a verb. يعني الخطاب بالاسم والخطاب بالفعل. What's the difference between the two? يعني they imply two different things. They actually imply two different things. What are the things that they imply? يعني so for example here in the case الذين ينفقون في سراء وضراء Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always says الذين ينفقون يعني those if you want to translate it those who spend in hardship or in ease and hardship. Always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that case uses al-khitab or address in fil by verb. Why? What does it imply? While in other verses, for example, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ What is the meaning? يعني why is the khitab here بالاسم by now and not by verb? What do the two imply? They imply different things. And this is to help us understand the Quran more. So when the address or the speech is by noun, it is referring to something which is constant and continuous. And when it is by verb, it is referring to something which is occurring, can occur over and over again or starts again. التجدد والحدوث. And you'll never find in the Quran any change between them. They are always, each one is used in its proper way. But another principle or aspect of the Arabic language that we find in the Quran is al-istia'ar. What's the meaning of al-istia'ar? Okay, in Arabic, then we'll have someone translate. Hatta in Arabic. طيب استعارة means literally it means borrowing. Can it mean to? يعني use one word in the place of another word that will give a similar meaning although the wording actually is completely different. For example, ولباس التقوى ذلك خير. لباس التقوى. How would you translate that into English? Literally means what? The clothing of taqwa. What does it mean by it? What does لباس التقوى هذا استعارة. What does لباس التقوى mean? It means to be to have the characteristics of التقوى. طيب ما دمت عليه قائمة. What's the meaning of that? ما دمت عليه قائمة. What does it mean literally? ما دمت عليه قائمة. Hey, it's about referring to someone who owes you money. Or you lent him money. It's the same, but implies something different. ما دمت عليه قائمة. What does it mean literally? As long as you're standing over him, or you have to stand over him. What does it actually mean?
Keeping
on him. to translate into loose English, keep me honest. طيب هذا الاستعارة هذا you'll find it often in the Quran.
Like expression in English.
Expression or idiom? No, not idiom. I don't know.
لا
طيب. Another aspect of the Arabic language that you'll find again in the Quran, for example, let me read this verse, tell me what it means literally and tell me what it actually means. وَيَقْتَلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. What does it mean literally? In English, what does it mean literally? يقتلون النبيين بغير حق. Let me ask you another question. In what form is this? This is referring to what? Past, present, or future?
Present.
ويقتلون النبيين بغير حق. This is either referring to the present or future. Okay. This is either referring to the present or future. And if they kill, or they will kill the prophets without haqq, without any right to, let's say. So, this is a principle of the Arabic language. What does this verse mean? Or a style of the Arabic language. This verse means what? Let me ask you another question. Did the Jews kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is there any prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi
wasallam? Not killing them, not killing, yani.
Not killing.
Not only means killing, means dying, opposing,
fighting.
No, here.
Refers to the past. There you are. It is in the form of the present or future, but its meaning is past. Okay, that's also an aspect of the Quran. ما جاء على صيغة المستقبل ومعناه الماضي. طيب, what's the meaning of this verse now? We've left that topic. This is a different topic now. أتى أمر الله فلا تستعجلون.
Something that happened in the past and didn't come in the future.
طيب, ونادى أصحاب الجنة أصحاب النار.
Same thing.
Okay, both of these are in the past tense, but they're referring to something in the future.
And
that is also a style of the Quran. We'll mention things in the past tense, but its meaning is in the future. And again, as I said, yani all of these things, actually you can bring Arabic poetry in which yani they use the same style. Arabic poetry from the time of Jahiliyyah. In other words, in these things, the Quran is not introducing something new, but it is using part of the eloquence of the Arabic language and part of the style of the Arabic language. So, the next two verses, tell me what is, and this is, by the way, this is you find this often in the Quran, in which if it's understood in the Arabic language, and it's understood by the tense of the Arabic language, or by the structure of the word, for example, that the angels will enter upon them from every bab, from every door, salam, means they will say to them, salam, and it's peace. وَأَلْسُوا فَمَّ الَّذِينَ سْوَدَتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ أَكَفَرْتُمْ. Yani those people whose faces will be blackened, أَكَفَرْتُمْ, yani they will be told that you disbelieved after you had believed. So this is, as I said, common, very common in the Quran, in which the word, which would be yani to say or something like that, is dropped, but it's understood clearly in the text, in the Arabic text. Come to another style, another Arabic style in the Quran. هذا يعني in the last lecture I mentioned Ani Shurush, and I said he's one of the non-Muslims who's tried to use some of these principles to make some people doubt the Quran. I referred to a debate that he had with Jamal Barwi about
Jurush?
Ani Shurush. He's Lebanese.
Yeah, okay.
Or Palestinian. I referred to a debate that he had with Jamal Barwi about is the Quran the word of Allah or the word of God. Well, in that talk, as I mentioned last time, and he refers to many of these principles of the Arabic language, that if we're not familiar with the Arabic now, we will be fooled by his arguments. that in fact the Arabic, there's something wrong with the Arabic of the Quran. One of the examples is, again, all the examples that he gave, as I mentioned last time, almost all of them come from Ibn Qutaybah's book, Ta'wil Mushkul al-Quran. Well, one of the examples he gave was, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. طيب. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. يعني, under normal circumstances, if you were to say that sentence, how would you say it? البر here, is it, يعني, in the, is this the way someone would normally say it? لكن البر, it should be what?
البر, يعني,
لكن البر, البر من آمن بالله. البر من آمن بالله doesn't make it. Huh? البر should be what here? Not should be, but, يعني, the way you people speak, for example. البر here should be البار.
البار,
يعني, لكن البار من آمن بالله. صح؟ صح ولا لا؟ But this is a principle in a style of the Arabic language, in which they put the مصدر or the infinitive in the place of the what? البار is what?
الفاعل.
الفاعل. طبعا
المكان فاعل.
مكان الفاعل. As Al-Furra said, you know, who's Al-Furra? You know Al-Furra? One of the most famous experts of the Arabic language. He said, Al-Arab, yani, they will talk about Al-Masdar by using the infinitive, by using a noun, or about the noun by using the infinitive. This is an example, يعني, of using the مصدر in the place of the بعض. لكن البر, البر من آمن بالله. Instead of, لكن البر, بر من آمن بالله. الحمد لله, جمال بروي had, first thing جمال بروي said when he came, and he said, there's many of you who are Arabs in the audience, let me ask you one question. How many verses from the Quran did Anish Rosh read correctly? The answer was not one. يعني, every verse he reads like me, and he doesn't mistake in every verse. يعني. Well, he started from there. طيب, والعاقبة للتقوى. والعاقبة للتقوى. It is, يعني, it means والعاقبة للمتقين. It is المصدر in the place of الفعل. ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية. وخفية. ايش؟ معنى ايش؟ That one's too easy, see.
It's
going to get harder. Let me see. If I can find another one similar to that. And this is very common in the Quran. To have one kind of siga, one kind of word form, in the place of another kind of word form. And it is something very common in the Arabic language, in the Arabic portion. It is the style of the Arabic language. Another example, for example, is لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ لَا. لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ لَا.
لَا
مَعْصُوم. So in this case it's what? فعل. فعل. Instead of المفعول. اسم المفعول.
اسم فاعل.
وضع اسم المفعول. اسم
المفعول.
لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله. عاصمة instead of معصوم. Now I'll read, يعني, three verses. You tell me what's the common factor among them. So these three verses, يعني, their meaning is not as they look like. وَأُصِرُّ قَوْلَكُمْ أَوَجْهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. And this is in the form of an order. Okay? And if you make your speech secret or be open with it, then Allah still... The meaning, يعني, comes in the form of an order, but in this case it is... What? الخبر or شرط?
أُصِرُّ أَشْرَط.
Okay, شرط, يعني. the meaning is in asrartum qawlakum aw kitab
azam.
Well, the second one
khabar
famshu fi manakibiha wa kulu min rizqihi comes in the form of amr, but it is what?
Khabar.
It is khabar. It is an enunciative state. Same. And the last one, kunu qirdatan khati'een. And for sure it is not amr, huh? Okay. Now I'll read, how many verses do you have? 6 verses. Now this is a little bit tricky now here, these 6 verses. These 6 verses all have something in common, but it's not the same thing among the... These 6 verses all have something in common, but that principle in common is being used in a different way in each verse. Does that make any sense? Okay, I'll read all 6 of them again. Okay, 6 verses. فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا وَمَا يَنْتَقِي عَنِ الْحَوَى وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ مَنْ أَنْصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَ لِهَذَا يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. I'll give you a hint. And as I said, they're all using one principle, but they're using it in a different way. But these 2 verses are using the same principle in exactly the same way. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ مَنْ أَنْصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Well, these next 2 verses are using the same principle in exactly the same way. بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا. It's very...
It's about ضمير. About إِنَّ وَإِلَىٰ.
What about?
Mr. Feeling something that's not related to the verb.
نفس الحرف.
Very good. The use of one حروف الصفات meaning another one. And this is a very big topic. I just took some examples. But يعني I can say almost 100 or 100 examples we could take. From the Quran.
Does that mean?
Use of one haruf of sifat in the place of another one. In the place of another one. Or meaning another one. Meaning another one. For example, فَسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا. الْبَاء here means what? Means عَنْ. فَسْأَلْ عَنْهُ خَبِيرًا. So that's the case of the ba replacing عَنْ. Or being in the same place as عَنْ. Okay? وَمَا يَنْتَقِي عَنِ الْحَوَى. An here is replacing ba. The opposite of the first one. Here, an is replacing ba. طيب. ولا تأكلوا أموالهم إلى أموالكم. طيب. ما here إلى is replacing ما. ولا تأكلوا أموالهم ما أموالكم. طيب. من أنصاري إلى الله. نعم.
عند الله. من أنصاري عند الله.
عند الله؟
مع الله.
مع الله.
Same thing.
إلى place of مع. من أنصاري مع الله. عند الله الصف. عند الله. طيب. بأن ربك أوحى لها.
أوحى.
إليها. اللام بplaces إلى. بأن ربك أوحى إليها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا.
إلى
هذا. Same thing. لام replaces إلى. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى هذا. يحفظونه من أمر الله. نعم.
بأمر الله.
من replaces الباء. طيب. Let's see what else we got here. Okay. What is the principle being used in these 2 verses? Actually, they're almost the same verse. كل شيء هالك إلى وجهه ويبقى وجه ربك. What's the principle being used here? كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه.
كل شيء هالك إلا الله.
طيب. So
only.
Okay. So everything يعني will perish except his face Here his face means, it means Allah. So what would you call that?
Just my
name. By using yani, the name of the part of something referring to the whole. It's لَقْ اسْمُ الْجُزْ عَلَى الْكُلْ.
حتى هذا مع الله عز وجل؟
نعم. لكن وجهه.
لكن ليس
جزء. كل شيء هالك إلى وجه.
كل شيء هالك إلى وجه.
Doesn't mean إلى وجه. Let me help you out. This one is very similar to the ones we just finished. Yeah, the one we just finished. The one we just did. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالَكٌ إِلَى
وَجْهٍ
يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَّابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ مِنَ السَّوَاعِقِ. Want me to make it easier? To narrow it down to the point I want you to. يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَّابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ. What does it mean literally?
Yeah.
Means to put the whole finger in the ear. What do you call this for? And in Arabic, in English, yes, you would say that. Put your finger in the ear. But in Arabic language, it actually means the whole thing. So this is ايش اطلاق اسم الكل على
العكس.
Exactly the opposite of the first one. Okay, the famous verse in the Quran, Surah Ash-Shura, verse 11. ليس كمثله شيء. ليس كمثله شيء. What about كمثله؟
إما الكاف زائدة. دون التكرر يعني أو.
No, إما كاف زائدة أو.
Or مثل هو الشيء
نفسه.
Or.
كاف مثل المثل
ليس كمثله شيء ليس كمثله شيء either الكاف الزائدة or مثل الزائدة يعني إذا you could read it يعني it could be يعني ليس كهو شيء ليس كهو شيء in which case مثل الزائدة or
ليس مثل شيء. طيب في ضج يعني.
Especially that's what the point I wanted to mention. يعني what they call in Arabic زيادة or unneeded or extra letters. And there's some debate among the scholars. Many scholars, especially among the Salaf, they said there is no such thing in the Quran. There is no unneeded letters in the Quran or unneeded words in the Quran. So in other words, both ka, the ka and mithlihi, they both have their purposes. Like for example, what you said, yeah, as the ka could mean
key. If you take this literally, يعني نفي مثل المثل.
Yeah.
فإذا نفيت مثل المثل يعود إلى الأصل نفسه. يعني it's something about that.
طيب. طيب.
طيب.
طيب.
طيب. طيب.
Some say ka is extraneous, some say مثل is extraneous. لكن some scholars say no in the Quran. And yeah, Suyuti says, Suyuti for example, he doesn't say there's no extraneous in the Quran, but he says, and you should avoid to try to say it. Do your best to figure out what it means. If you cannot figure out any meaning for it, then you say it's extraneous. But some of the early scholars, they said there's no extraneous letters or words in the Quran.
Right.
Actually, I mentioned it in particular to mention the dispute about whether or not there are extraneous letters in the Quran.
How many opinions? A lot of opinions.
A. طيب. And we'll try to end soon. I'll just give one more type of example from the of this style of Arabic language. First three verses again, they're using the same principle. The second verse I'm going to read, and most people don't realize that it is of this nature, but according to Ibn Abbas, it is of this nature. ويستغفرون لمن في الأرض. That's the first verse. كل له قانتون. That's the second verse. فتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء. Three verses. What's the common, the lowest down, the common denominator between. That's a good way to say it, but another way to say it is, يعني use اسم العام وإرادة الخاص. And you use a general term, but you mean not everyone, but particular class. For example, يستغفرون لمن في الأرض. يعني it applies only يعني to whom? المؤمنين. يعني because and there's proof for that in the Quran by the verse where يستغفرون للذين آمنوا. كل له قانتون. What's the meaning of that? كل له قانتون. According to Ibn Abbas, this is not general. Many people understand it as meaning everyone. And everything is submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but refers to أهل الطاعة, specific to quote Ibn Abbas specifically, أهل الطاعة, those people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وفتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء mean
part of the
فتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء. What أبواب are open for them? If we open for them the doors to everything, يعني the doors of those things that they like. يعني فتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء includes يعني things that are good or things that are bad. But Allah سبحانه وتعالى in this verse means يعني just those things that they like. So these are يعني some of the principles of the Arabic language, يعني that we can find used often in the Quran. As many other aspects to the Arabic language, for example, the Quran also introduce new terms to the Arabic language. Yani many the Quran changed the Arabic language in many ways. There were some, or I should say, for perhaps just to say that Islam changed the Arabic language in many ways. For example, there were some terms that were used in Jahiliya that are never used, have never been used since the time of Jahiliya, for different reasons. Some of them actually there's nahi or prohibition from the Prophet with respect to specific terms. Some of them are terms that were used, for example, al-murba'a. What's the meaning of al-murba'a? Al-murba'a.
Something has four things.
Something has four things, yeah. Al-murba'a. You don't hear it again after Islam. Al-murba'a is the quarter of the gharima that the ruler used to take in Jahiliyyah. Doesn't exist anymore. After Islam it was put an end to. But also, يعني Islam also introduced new words or words with new meaning. Especially, for example, with respect to the word, to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني these names have new meanings to them. That if you just take the meanings of them from the Arabic language, you cannot apply them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Ash-Shakur. What does Ash-Shakur mean?
Somebody.
Person who thanks someone, okay. But if you take it from the Arabic point of view, a shakur is the person who thanks someone because he's indebted to that person, or that person did something for him. But with respect to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, does that mean?
Jazi.
No. And with respect to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, the meaning. That's a term, that's one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that actually existed during the time of Jahiliyyah. Al-Quddus did not exist during the time of Jahiliyyah.
Shakur existed?
Shakur.
Do you know the meaning?
Shakur. No, lughwi, as someone who is thankful. But also, Islam came and gave new meanings to, for example, the word Islam, Deen, Sharia. All of these things have now their own new meanings according to the Deen. And if you want to understand the Quran and make tafsir, you have to understand these terms in the light of Islamic definitions. Also included on that is Salat zakat, wa siyam. Salat, when it's used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? لا صلاة صلى الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. نعم. يعني someone translated a book by محمد ناصر الدين الألباني, Adab al-Zifaf. Well, I don't remember the complete title of Adab al-Zifaf, but apparently there's a mention of the Prophet in the title, في سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم or something like that. وفيها صلى الله عليه وسلم. Well, on the title of the book, it says the prayers of Allah and peace be upon him. يعني طبعا الصلاة when it's used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means what? It means mercy and blessing. There's also a description of people, المؤمن, المجاهد, المسلم, المنافق. All of these have their own Islamic terminology. Also المؤمن, again, it's one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. صح? المؤمن. Obviously it has a different meaning, يعني when used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than when used for mankind. That's another aspect of tafsir, and related to the Arabic language, that you have to keep in mind, that there are some terms that are defined Islamically in the Quran and Sunnah. And when you interpret the Quran, you cannot just simply rely upon the Arabic meaning of the words, but you have to look to how Islam defines those terms. Well, yani before we finish about the Arabic language, we have to put it in its proper place. And we have now talked about how many sources of tafsir?
Four.
The Quran,
Sunnah,
Qawl al-Sahaba. We talked about the Tab'een,
Hujjah.
And we talked about whether they're Hujjah or not. And we talked about now the Arabic language. Okay. Now it is true that the Quran is revealed in the Arabic language. And you will not find anything in the Quran that goes against necessarily the Arabic language. But at the same time, as I said, because of all of these different aspects of the Arabic language, for example, taqleem and ta'khir and other aspects, and in what place does the Arabic language come in the order of source of tafsir? And it comes after the Quran itself. It comes after the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in other words, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined a term and says this term means this, for example, when he said about dhulm, that in that particular verse it means shirk, and no one can come along and say, no, dhulm here means any injustice or doing something wrong, because that's the Arabic meaning of the word. No. The Prophet has sent him to find it as meaning shirk. The statements of the Sahaba also, if the Sahaba say that this verse, for example, has taqdeem wa ta'khir, or it has some principle of the Arabic language, or it means something, then their statement is to be preferred to anyone who might try to interpret that verse and without looking to the statement of the Sahaba and try to define it simply on the basis of Arabic language. Well, statements of the Tab'een and Arabic language. Which one takes preference?
The
Tab'een.
Give an example.
Ayyuha. And here probably you should rely on the statement of the Tab'een. And if the Tab'een says that this phrase or such means this, then rely on what he said rather than the Arabic language. Well, this points, by the way, to the danger of those people who turn to the Qur'an and they try to interpret the Qur'an on the basis of the Arabic language only and what they claim to know of Islam without looking first to its explanation based on the Qur'an, wa sunnah, wa statements of the Sahaba and so forth. Well, in fact, Imam al-Qurtubi, in his introduction to his tafsir, he said that those people who try to interpret the Qur'an by looking just to the Arabic language and not relying upon what has been narrated, and not relying upon what has been narrated concerning the Qur'an with respect to the gharab al-Qur'an, yani the unusual words of the Qur'an, and what is included in there of ikhtisar or ellipsis and subaddition, idmar, wa taqdeem wa ta'khir and so forth. He said the one who does that, who fails to look at what the Prophet ﷺ said about it and what the Sahaba said about it and so forth, he said he is the same person, or he is the same as those people who interpret the Qur'an according to their ra'i, according to their own opinion. Well, we know earlier how tough he was on those people who interpreted simply according to their own opinion. Well, he gives an example that you cannot just simply understand the Qur'an based on the Arabic language, And he said, suppose someone tries to read the verse, وَأَتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا. How would you understand that verse? What's the literal meaning of that verse? وَأَتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا. This is Surah Al-Isra, verse 59. What's the literal meaning, please, quickly? We don't have much time. Literally. طيب, okay. Who is Mubsira?
الناقة
is Mubsira. Okay. فظلموا بها. طيب. So they had a camel, a she camel. Who? How would you translate Mubsira? Can see. They have a she camel who can see. And if you wanted to translate this verse as literally as possible, ignoring what it means, it would mean that we gave Thamud, meaning the people of Thamud, a she-camel that could see, and they committed injustice. Biha means what? With it or by it? Could mean either one. Is that what the verse means? And if you just went to it according to the Arabic language, that's what it means. But of course, we know that the Quran has its own particular style, and we know the meaning of this verse based on other verses of the Quran, that the naqa, the she camel, was given to them as a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufsira here means a visible sign. Visible sign. فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا, they committed wrong because of it, meaning, because of what we know from the other verses in the Quran, they committed wrong by killing it. بِهَا means because they killed it. Ibn Mas'ud also, during the time of Ibn Mas'ud, someone was referring to this verse. وَيَوْمَ تَأْتِي سَمَاءِ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ. What's the meaning, by the way, of that verse? Surah Dukhan. يَوْمَ تَأْتِي سَمَاءِ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Dukhan verse 10. During the time of Ibn Mas'ud, someone came to the Ibn Mas'ud, while he was sitting in the mosque, and he said that someone is interpreting this verse, saying that on the day of judgment such and such will happen. Which is one of the meanings you gave. Well, Ibn Mas'ud said that the one who has knowledge should speak, and the one who doesn't have knowledge should say, Allah knows best. He said that verse is referring to the time when the Quraysh were being very difficult upon the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Well, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua against them to have a time of like drought, like the time of Yusuf. And they had a very hard time until they could find nothing to eat. Well, one of them would look to the sky, and in the sky he would see smoke coming in the direction. So Ibn Mas'ud is saying that those people who are interpreting this verse according to the Arabic language only, and saying يوم التأتي, referring either to the Day of Judgment, or he's saying these people are wrong. This is an event occurred during the time of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Well, Shatibi gives this example in his book on Muwathiqat, and he has an example of where people might try to interpret particular verses simply by looking at the Arabic, without realizing the context and it was revealed and what the Sahaba and so forth said about. Well, Ibn Taymiyyah in his famous book Muqaddima fi Usul al-Tafsir, he said that when reading the Quran, you have to keep in mind who is the speaker. The Quran comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is it directed to, and who is it revealed to, and what time it was revealed to, and what it is referring to. All of these things you have to keep in mind. And there's another example of that case, of something of that nature, is in Surah Al-Isra, verse 16, in which again, if you look to the Arabic of the verse, you will come up with a meaning which is completely different from what is meant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that verse in the Quran. وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ الْقَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُثْرَ فِيهَا فَفَسِقُوا فِيهَا فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْلِ فَدَمَّلْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. And when we decide, just the way, by the way, Abdullah Yusuf Ali translated, when we decide to destroy a town, we command those among them who are given the good things of this life to be obedient, but they continue to transgress so that the word is proved true against them, then we destroy them utterly. Obviously, Abdullah Yusuf Ali is when he translated this verse, he's keeping in mind the principles that Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. And that who is the speaker? What did the scholar say about this verse and so forth? Otherwise, what's the meaning of that verse? Again, literally. What does the verse say? It is saying that Allah ordered them to commit fisq. But we know, that's not the meaning of the verse. So, Arabic language is something very important to understand the Quran, but at the same time, one should be careful to try to simply understand the Quran on the basis of the Arabic language. Or we had an example of that Wasaid mentioned during Ramadan, in which some people walked away from this mosque here, concluding that those people who are summun bukmun, they are deaf and dumb, that these people are the worst people in the sight of Allah. Yes? And some people, because they took that verse at its literal meaning, forgetting what the Quran is about, forgetting who revealed the Quran and what the Quran is all talking about, and they come up with that meaning. So, the Quran, the Arabic language is very important, to know, to understand the Quran properly. Well, the more you understand the Arabic language, inshallah, the more you can get from the Quran. So I advise all of you, to do your best to increase your understanding of the Arabic language, so you can understand things, for example, like the difference between لَهَا مَكَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَكَسَبَتْ كَسَبَ وَكَسَبَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا, why one and not the other. And for those of us who don't have that knowledge and are not that strong in the Arabic language, then we should turn to the books of tafsir where the scholars have discussed these things. And it says that when we hear the Quran, it's not just some words that have some meaning to us, but we're not really sure what it means, but we really get the meaning of the Quran from them. Well, I think that's a good point to stop. If there's any questions still left over, or you want some more examples of Arabic that I skipped, well, the rest of you have to correct.